Naaman was a remarkable man. His list of credits is impressive. 6 accolades are given to him in this one verse alone. He was captain of the host of the king of Syria, commander-in-chief of one of the mightiest nations of his time. He was recognized throughout the nation, the great general, the mighty soldier. He was a great man with his master. He had full favor of the king. Historically, this is a remarkable commendation. Often monarchs were leery of their top-ranked army men, but Naaman was trustworthy, and the king knew it. He was honorable, a man of his word. Whatever Naaman told you, you could count on. He apparently was even favored in battle by God, for Scripture records that the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Whether he was a religious man or not, we don't know. He was a mighty man of valor. His courage was legendary, and he had served his country well. However, the 6th statement regarding this man is totally negative, and it completely overshadows the first 5. But he was a leper. One can only wonder how long the general had known about his deadly condition. In public, he always kept the cape and armor on. They hid the death sentence written in his flesh. The man who had faced down the major armies of the world had in his body an enemy he knew he could never defeat. What a contrast is written in this verse. A great man, but a leper. The Bible always gives both sides of the story. It never hides or covers up the unpalatable side. Remember, the Bible is written by God through men, and nothing ever escapes those divine eyes of the Creator. He sees past all the cosmetic treatment we give the human race. He peers past all the socially redeeming virtues that give us such pride. The songwriter put it this way, "People often see you as you are outside. Jesus really knows you, for he sees inside." King David knew this truth so well. He had learned from experience. He prayed, "Thou hast beset me behind and before. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Even the night shall be light about me." Naaman knew that he was a leper. It haunted him every waking moment. He realized that leprosy was a one-way ticket to the cemetery. Day after day, he watched the disease spread. He was helpless before it. This was one fight he would lose. The Bible equates leprosy with the eternal disease of sin. There are so many similarities between them. And it's urgent that every one of us know what they are. Why? Because we're all sinners. The Scripture makes it crystal clear. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Paul claimed that our sins make us unfit for God's presence, being alienated from the life of God. God's standard is a high one, none less than Jesus Christ himself. God will judge every man and woman on the basis of Christ's life. Nothing less will suffice. Surely there's no one listening to this radio service who would equate his life on a par with that of Jesus. His was the only perfect life ever lived. There was not a mar or taint about him. It's the reason we must be spiritually reborn. At that moment, Jesus' life comes into us. God sees his standard residing in our very souls, and we become acceptable to his measure of holiness. Paul said, "Christ in me, the hope of glory." Just as a man cannot abide leprosy, God cannot tolerate sin. Notice the similarities between these two diseases. Leprosy is almost unnoticeable at its beginning. According to the book of Leviticus, it starts as a rising, a scab, or a bright spot. Nothing to be alarmed about. It'll go away in a couple of days. But when you consider it again, the infected area has spread. It hasn't gone away. "Oh, but surely tomorrow it'll be better." But leprosy never is. It's the classic case of the deceptiveness of the gradual. The horrible infection doesn't hit the victim overnight. It takes days, weeks, months, even years. The tragedy is this. It may be slow, but it's lethal. Sin starts the same way. It's Eve accepting the apple, Samson taking a first look at Delilah, Judas considering the ring of silver in his pocket. Satan's a master of cunning. Sin looks so innocent. Why does God make such a big deal about it? What can it hurt? Lillian Roth knew the story well. She pitched away a career. Oh, not overnight. Satan doesn't work that fast. It took years, and the career was replaced with the one thing she couldn't do without, alcohol. The title of her autobiography could be the testimony of every person who realizes finally that Satan has cleverly trapped her. I'll cry tomorrow. Oh, yes, the tears come later, sometimes much later, but they do come. The coarse laughter, the illicit relationships, the ravaging of the body because of habitual degradation, they bring the tears. And even worse, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And then your friends weep too. Secondly, leprosy is infectious. That's why lepers in Jesus' day were outcasts. They were to congregate outside the walls of a city. If they were approached by a non-leper, they were to call out, "Unclean! Unclean!" Sin spreads too. You can pick it up by associating with those who are already terminally ill. God has carefully warned every person to watch his associations. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it as a plague. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. How quickly sin spreads. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. The next step was the murder of her husband, then the death of a baby. Then the ravishing of David's daughter, then the murder of one of his sons, then the banishment of the crown prince, then civil war, then the death of hundreds of loyal troops, his beloved son Absalom hanging by his hair in a tree, with the deadly darts embedded in his heart. Third, leprosy causes little pain until it's too late to do anything about it. Paul wrote of the deceitfulness of sin. Satan makes sure that the sin is painless until it's too late to stop. The first drink, easy, no problem. That first affair, oh, who will ever know? The first experience with drugs, why, everyone does it. It's also painless. It's the crowd scene. You're part of the gang. Acceptance, oh, that's so delightful. Are you sure? Who will want you when the leprosy begins to eat away at your soul and you become a drag on the very society you so wanted to join? How many of the old gang will gather around you when you're strapped spread eagle to a bed in a mental ward because you couldn't come out of some acid trip? You're careening into space. Your brain is on fire. The wall is covered with creatures. Someone is laughing. Who's making that terrible laughing noise? Satan. He nailed you, and now you feel the pain. Now the leprosy has broken through the outer tissue. How terrible. Your wife is turned away. She can't take it anymore. Your children can't stand the buffeting anymore. They call someone else daddy. The joy is gone, isn't it? Everything is turned to ashes. The pain is so terrible. Suddenly it dawns on you, eternity hasn't even started yet, but hell has already begun in your soul. Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. Did he die of his leprosy? No. And you need not die of sin. There's a solution to your problem. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as wool. There is a magnificent answer to your dilemma. It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ who came to manifest the love of God. For God so loved this world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Syrian general found a man of God named Elisha. The preacher sent word that there was a cure. It could be found in the Jordan River. Go dip in that river 7 times. And when Naaman emerged from the stream the 7th time, the Bible says his body was totally free of the leprosy. But he almost missed the cure. It was too simple. It was beneath his dignity. He turned away at first in a wrath, but then it dawned on him. Sure, he might be angry and offended, but he was still a leper. It took obedience to God's plan for him to be healed. What is God's answer to you? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You say that you don't believe in Christ. Oh, but the leprosy of sin continues to eat away at your soul and body. The gospel's old-fashioned, you think. The leprosy's still there. There must be a more dignified way, you protest. Life's growing short, brother. Sin ends in death. And you haven't responded to God's plan to eliminate it from your life. When Jesus died on the cross, his blood was spilled in the dust. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only answer to the sin problem. God has never changed his mind. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Nothing can cover the sin in your life. Nothing can take it away and cleanse your soul but the blood of Jesus Christ. Sir, take a good look at your life. You may be the best of men, but in your heart, you know the sin problem has never been dealt with successfully. And the Holy Spirit is drawing you to God during this service. He's dealing with you in a tangible way. Just as Naaman knew that there was healing in the old Jordan River, you know there's cleansing from sin in the blood of Jesus. Naaman realized that the Jordan was the only hope he had. And you know that Jesus Christ is the only solution to your problem. You've kept the Lord at arm's length for so long, but the sin in your life has continued to grow. Aren't you tired of it? Will you kneel with me and ask Christ to wash away all that deadly disease of sin? Salvation can be yours, my friend. Reach out for it in these next precious seconds. Sin is a killer. It has no redeeming virtue at all. The longer you allow sin to have a place in your life, the harder it will become to call on Jesus. That's why I plead with you in this very hour to come to Christ. Just as Naaman went to the Jordan in obedience and was healed of leprosy, will you come to Jesus now and let him have total control of your life? Oh, you'll never regret it. As the choir sings a grand old hymn, why don't you and I pray together?
There's room at the cross for you.
Heavenly Father, please take this simple gospel message today and use it for your glory. Even a child could understand it. Your gospel is simple, and many miss it for that very reason. Naaman almost missed his healing because he expected some grand, magnificent enactment. But when we come to you in pure obedience to your message, you are always there to move in our lives. Father, I wish I could take my friend's place here. If I were in his shoes, I would accept Christ for him. But no one can take another's place at the mercy seat. We must come to you ourselves. May this be the moment when that one who has waited so long declares in his heart, I'm going to accept the invitation right now. This is my day of salvation. Come into my heart today, Lord. Thank you, Father, for hearing this prayer and saving this precious soul and life. Amen. Oh, I was hoping you'd do that. Accepting Jesus today. Please write to me and tell me about it, will you? And if you'll ask for them, I'll send you some home Bible studies that will enrich your life over and over. Now you find a church home right away. Don't let anyone ever talk you out of that. Scripture makes it clear that you need a church home, that you need to be there faithfully to learn more about the Lord. Well, God bless you. You're a new believer, part of the family of God. And you'll find that day by day you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.